One of these days, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow and call him Lord. That's what's going to happen. Whether they did it in this life or not, they are going to recognize Jesus as Lord. And I'm excited because He is my Lord and He is my Savior. Today I know Him and He knows me, and soon, and very soon, you know what? We're all going to be with Him in heaven. That's coming. And that just gets me excited. When you look around, we ought to keep one eye on Israel. And when you look at what God's doing over there, things start getting tuned up, don't they? We're going home real soon. And I'm so excited about that. And glory be to God, who deserves all our praise. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and I'm going to preach to you out of 1 Corinthians. It's good to be back behind this pulpit and be able to preach to you again. I don't want you to think I take this lightly. This is a huge honor for me to be here, and thank God that I'm able to. And what a great day. What a beautiful day He's given us. 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 9, and I'll read down through verse 11. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 11. When you get there, just say, uh-huh, most of you. All right, well, buckle down. We're fixing to take off. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul is writing, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Let's pray together. Our Father, it's a powerful thing to read Your Word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive, it's vibrant, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. It can even dissect between spirit and soul. And Lord, You say that whatever Your Word is supposed to do, it gets accomplished. So this morning we're praying, Lord, that it will get what it's supposed to get done here. Thank You, Jesus, for preserving it, for providing it for us. And we just glory in the cross today, because You have revealed Yourself and You've revealed what You've done and who You are. And we're like the Apostle Paul. We're just basking in Your grace. There's nothing about us that's any good. We don't deserve anything either. Thank You for Your grace. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if an innocent man stands trial, he requires justice. But if a guilty man stands trial, he needs grace. Right? Every one of us were on trial, and every one of us were guilty. We needed grace. That's where Jesus stepped in. And He took the unrighteous, He took the guilty sinner, and He brings them before a holy God, made new, made righteous by His own precious blood. Isn't that a wonderful thing, a wonderful thought today, what God did through Jesus for us? He took guilt and He pardoned it by the way of the cross so that we could stand in His presence. I needed mercy. I needed grace. Paul said that's what he got. He got the grace of God, what he didn't deserve. Now, a lot of people have written about grace. A lot of people have defined grace. And I just like to go back to that original, maybe the most simple definition of grace. And that is, it's the unmerited favor of God. In the original Hebrew language, the idea is that someone bends and stoops down. That's more of the practical, it's the action that you see. And that's what God did. God came way, way down. He stooped very, very low for us. And we needed Him to do that. I'm so glad He did that. That He condescended, came way down to earth through His Son Jesus Christ, and He gave us what we do not deserve. You know, if you try to think about this in a human perspective, you really can't, but I will attempt to just sort of give you a picture. The Queen of England, as she comes out of the palace and maybe she goes out on the streets, there will be people thronging to see her. It wasn't long ago when we saw that wedding and all those people pressing to get as close as they could just to get a picture of the royalty. Imagine that with me, if you will. And the Queen breaks through all of the security and she goes to where those people are pressing and she touches a little child and maybe even kisses that little child's hand or on his forehead. That's an earthly picture of grace. That's someone who's aloof, someone who is above everyone else, so to speak, and does something extra special for someone who didn't deserve it. God did that infinite times larger for us. He who is above all, before all, who controls all, who made all things, the God of the universe, took us who were just specks on the pages of history and He reached down. He didn't just kiss us. He lifted us out of the mire, out of the muck, and put us on solid rock in Jesus Christ. That is grace. Folks, what God did for us, no one else could do. Listen to what Chuck Swindoll said. He said, receiving God's grace or God's acceptance by grace always stands in sharp contrast to earning it on the basis of works. Donald Barnhouse, a late pastor and Bible scholar, he might have said it best. He said, love that goes upward is worship. Love that goes outward is affection, but love that stoops is grace. And that's what God did for us. Out of His love, He stooped way down. I don't think there's any man probably in all of history that appreciated and understood the grace of God better than the Apostle Paul. He would write about it. He would live it. He would preach it. When he would leave places in his journeys throughout that part of the world on his missionary work, he would say, continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of the Lord who bought you with the price. You know, I think he grasped the truth of grace so well that, and because of that, he's able to help us understand grace that much better. And so he writes these words here these amazing grace truths from his personal testimony. And I just want to give you three and a half points, and then we're going to be dismissed and go home. And so if you'll give me just a few minutes, I want you to see the amazing grace truths that Apostle Paul writes about. The first thing I see him saying here is, God does what he does by his grace. No matter what God does on planet Earth, he does it by his grace. We see that in very practical ways like rainfall, sunshine, seasons, sun coming up, sun going down, the moon phases. People get a job, people are able to have a home, clothing. I mean, the grace of God in very practical ways. God's always working, isn't he? This is yes. This is no. God's always working, isn't he? He's always demonstrating grace to mankind. He reigns on the just and on the unjust. So the reason why JB got rain the other day, I heard him mention a little bit of rain, was because God reigns on both types. And we got just enough up there where I live. That's a bad joke. God does what he does because of his grace. Now think about the Apostle Paul with me. Verses 9 and 10 there, Paul indicated that in his own estimation, he was the smallest, the least, the most insufficient, the most unworthy, incompetent of all that God had called to be an apostle, but God had seen fit out of grace to save him and to call him into his ministry. Think about that. Paul said, I'm the worst. I'm the worst sinner. I was the most incompetent of all of the apostles. But God saw fit to call me to save me who was not worthy in any way. Paul's story starts in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching and Paul is listening, and his name is Saul then, and there's the Sanhedrin there, and they hear the climax of the message. They're guilty of the blood and of the crucifixion of Jesus. And instead of conviction gripping their heart and their sin, their vileness, their sin sickness, causing them to be in disgust of themselves, instead they get vicious and they get angry and they get so mad at Stephen that they rush on him and they drag him outside the city gate and they stone Stephen to death, who's calling on Jesus as he dies to forgive those men who are just wailing at him with those rocks. Saul is standing there and he is consenting unto the death of Stephen. In other words, he's saying, this is what needs to happen. I condone this. Carry it out, men. A little later on in his story, he is getting papers and he is going about all over Judea and even into Syria and wherever the Christians have scattered because of persecution, he's going after them. He's dragging women out by the hair of their head. He's killing men. He's putting people in prison. He is a vicious animal. The wording is that he's chasing them, hunting them down like wild animals. That's what he did. One day he had papers to go to Damascus, and on his way to Damascus, God sent his son. And there was this bright light, the Son of God shone on that road, brighter than the noonday sun. And Saul of Tarsus fell down on his face before a holy God, and he said, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And in the course of just a few days, Saul was saved and baptized. His blindness went away. And listen to this. He began to preach in the synagogue in just a matter of a few. Where he was going to persecute Christians, he wound up going there to preach Christ. Are y'all listening to me this morning? I mean, this man was a wild animal kicking against Jesus, persecuting the church, and then all of a sudden, God does this wonderful thing in his life where he stops him in his tracks. He convicts his soul of sin. He births him into the family of God. He baptizes him in water. And his blindness that happened on the road goes away, and he is so changed that you can't even imagine how changed he was. You take the worst person you've ever seen get saved, multiply that times a thousand, you got the Apostle Paul. Have you ever known anybody to kill someone because they're a Christian? Have you ever known anybody to come into this place and drag a woman out by the hair of her head and throw her in jail because she's a Christian? Have you ever known anybody who would take little children and separate them from their families just simply because they were Christians? That was him. Tear the church building down, tear people's houses apart, burn them to the ground just because they're Christian. And here's Paul, and here's his words. He said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." God does what He does because of His grace. I didn't deserve this. I didn't earn this. There's no way I merit this. But God saw fit to do this in my life. And I'm so thankful to God for being gracious unto me. You see, I believe as you read the Apostle Paul, you hear a man who's thankful over and over again. You hear a man who's grateful. You hear him say things like, "May the peace of God, may the grace of God." You hear him write things like, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I think that you find a guy like that in the pages of the text that you could read in the New Testament because he understood grace so well. If you and I would just get a glimpse of the grace of God, if we just catch a little ounce of the grace of God, you and I would sound like Him too. I'm what I am. God has done what He's done in my life because He is so good. Because He is so loving. Because He is gracious. God. Flip back over to John. Just quickly, John's Gospel, chapter 1. If you're just now tuning in, just say, "Uh-huh." Okay? If you're glad you're here, say, "Uh-huh." John chapter 1. Look at verses 16 and 17. "And of His fullness," John 1, 16 and 17, "and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." What John is writing about here is the idea of replacement grace. The old covenant is replaced by the new covenant. Also, there's the idea of accumulation, the total life of grace as it perceives one grace, it's exchanged only for another grace. Fresh grace replaces grace received, and perpetually so. I mean, grace comes upon grace. Grace comes for grace. It's inexhaustible. According to Beasley and Murray. I mean, what Jesus did for us is, today He gave us grace where there was grace yesterday, and He'll give us grace tomorrow where there's grace today. This second's replaced by last second's grace. a fresh supply of it. I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine. Are you listening to me? I don't want to be where there's no grace from God. I don't want anything to hinder the grace of God in my life. I want God to just keep pouring it on me. Just keep bathing me in it. One second after another second. I want His favor on my life. Don't you? God does what He does because He's gracious. Isn't He good? Isn't God so good? Paul said something else. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, if you don't read this in the original language, you might miss it. Paul's saying, if there is any good now found in me, I get no credit. Grace gets the credit. If there's anything now found in me that's good, it's not me. It's God. He said, what I am is by God's grace. There's the deliberate use of the neuter here. And it stresses not the person, but what the person is. What the person has become. What had Paul become because of the grace of God? Paul had become an apostle, a special called person because of the grace of God. He had become a missionary, a pastor, an evangelist because of the grace of God. He'd become a vessel through which Scripture was written because of the grace of God. He'd become a man through which special miracles were wrought. Because of the grace of God. He was a man of grace, a man of kindness, a man of love, because God was with him in His grace. What he had become was because God was good to him. I got a question. What am I? What are you because of God's grace? You think about that. What are you? I am what I am. Very important. Grace was given unto him who was so undeserving, but he said it wasn't given in vain. Wasn't given without success. Because of the grace of God, I labored in grace. I became abundant in grace. I became sufficient in grace. I reached goals because of grace. I was to the point of exhaustion in this physical body because God was working through me His grace. He was working out of me His grace. Sad to say, today there are many people, many men, many women who are not a whole lot because they don't work within the realm of the grace of God. They work in their own flesh. They work in their own ability. They work in their own goal. They work with their own vision. They work with their own plan. And they cease to work within the confines of God's grace. Are you listening to me? How many people do we hear talking like this today? I am what I am because of the grace of God. Wouldn't it be nice to just be refreshed by someone who has made it to the height of their life? They've become very successful. They've become very popular, whatever it might be. And to hear them say, this is because God has done this for me. Always aggravates me. Somebody will stick a microphone into the face of a sports star and you know he's a Christian. You know she's a Christian. And they want to give Jesus the credit. They want to give Jesus the glory. And they want to talk about the guy that's doing the interview wants to talk about something else. Well, no, tell us about how this game went. Well, Jesus helped us to be victorious. I mean, but how did you feel? I mean, everybody wants to focus on something else, but who really did it, right? We want to focus on somebody else other than who's really the one who should get the credit. When was the last time you heard a successful lawyer say, "I am what I am because of the grace of God"? Successful doctor, successful nurse, a successful businessman, a successful rancher, someone who's in the teaching field, in education, somebody who's in a ditch down here plumbing the sewer lines. I am what I am because God is gracious. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you clean the toilets of First Baptist Salus Hall, if you lead the music, if you work in Vacation Bible School, if you run a bus, if you type out some notes, if you make the bulletin, if you run the sound, if you pass out the bulletin, if you greet somebody in the hallway, if you're on a security team, if you're on the finance team, are y'all with me today? It's because the grace of God has put you there. You are what you are by the grace of God. Don't ever forget that. Deacons, don't forget that. Sunday school teachers, don't forget that. You are what you are because God has been so good. There's one last amazing grace truth here from the Apostle Paul's testimony, and I think it's implied. I am where I am by the grace of God. He said this, "I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I." Say that with me. Yet not I. Say it one more time. Yet I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, it's God who gives me the gift of being where I am spiritually. I was able to do all of this, but it wasn't anything that I could muster up. It wasn't anything that I could do. This is something that God did in me. So, grace is not something just to be claimed. It's not something just to be amen. It's to be demonstrated. It's to be shared. It's to be used as the basis for friendships. It's to be drawn on from the as to sustain relationships. Paul could have said, "I'm a more spiritual person than most people I know. I'm pretty much more spiritual than James, and I'm a lot more spiritual than John." He could have said that, but he didn't say that. He said, "Yet not I." Yet. I don't want the focus to be on me. I want it to be on He. And because his focus, listen to me, because his focus was on Jesus and not on John, James, he was content to leave them where they were. He was content to not be critical of where they were. No, there may be weaker Christians around us, and there are. But you know how you're supposed to respond to them? You know how you're supposed to act with them? You're supposed to be a minister of grace to those around you. I like what old Peter wrote over here, Apostle Peter, and I'm going to turn over there. I want you to hear what he said. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, the Holy Spirit, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whatever God is doing in your life, whatever God has given you as a gift through the Spirit of God in your life, minister that one to another as a good steward of the manifold graces of God. We're supposed to be ministers of the grace of God to those around us. I wonder how we deal with people. You ever deal with people in the wrong way? I do. You know what God's calling us to? He's calling us to act like He acts. He's calling us to respond to people like He responds to us, out of grace. Next time that person doesn't deserve you being kind to them, go on and be kind anyway. Next time that person doesn't deserve your love, go on and love them anyway. My girls and my wife and I and little Hudson, we were out to Northwest Arkansas on Friday. And we went and ate. And the service was okay. It wasn't over the top. And we were at Olive Garden, and so the bill was about $100. I tipped the guy $16. Not because he deserved it, just because that's what I do. My wife was explaining to the girls, your dad's always been a good tipper. It doesn't matter how the service is. He tips them good anyway. I heard Johnny Hunt say something one time, and this is probably the reason why I do this. But Johnny Hunt said that waitresses and waiters across America, they have some kind of association. He said, they say, when the head goes down, the tip goes down. Are y'all following me? When they see people pray, they know it's not going to be a good tip out of that group. So I just want to prove them wrong. And I don't tip because they deserve it. I tip because I want them to know that they're loved no matter what. Who knows what's going on in their life that day? Are y'all listening to me? We need to be God's people no matter what is going on. Be loving to the unloving. Be kind to those who aren't kind. Yet not I, but the grace of God that's in me. Here's some concluding expectations of someone who firmly grasps grace. Number one, if you firmly grasp grace, you get a greater appreciation of God's gift to you and others, such as salvation. If you get a firm grasp on grace, you will expect to spend less time and energy critical of others. You will become less petty, and you will make room for and allow others to make their own choices, even their own mistakes in life. If you get a firm grasp on grace, you will expect to become more tolerant and less judgmental of others. If you get a firm grip on grace, externals will mean less to you and faith will mean more to you. If you get a firm grip on grace, you'll become more mature in your walk with Christ. There's a song. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees because your grace still amazes me. It's deeper. It's wider. It's stronger. It's higher. Your grace still amazes me. Shouldn't it amaze me? Why do you think grace was so important to Paul? Why do you think it was even given to Paul? Well, he said it right here. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. You know why grace was so important to Paul? He wanted to exhibit it so that other people would hear the gospel and be saved. It's really that simple. He wanted to be a man of grace so that other people could experience grace too. I promise you, you'd be a person of grace. People will also get in on it. You'd be a person of law, and people will miss it every time. If God's grace has become fresh and new to you today, would you stand with me? I mean, God's grace has bathed you fresh and new today. There ought not be anybody sitting down unless you just can't get up. And I understand that. Listen to me. Whether you're saved or lost, the grace of God has found you where you're at right now. And it's bathed you. It's just blanketed you right where you're at. Because that's what God does. That's who God is. You say, Brother Joe, I need Jesus to save me. I need to be born again by the grace of God. I hope you'll come down here, take me by the hand, say, Brother Joe, I need that. Will you help me? And I will. You say, Brother Joe, I just needed to hear that God's grace is fresh and new. That's all I wanted you to know. That's all God wanted you to know. Thank Him for it. Be grateful to Him because of His grace. Father, bless you, praise you, worship you. Save somebody, Lord, as we've already prayed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.